It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show and happy Friday to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining us, for listening. I appreciate each and every one of you. Take care of yourself. Live today with purpose, intention, and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, and feed your mind and your soul. That's why we do this show, is so that you can get your brain around these important issues, so that you can converse with your friends and your family and your colleagues about these issues. Because the American idea, this conservative idea, this idea we have to conserve, the vision of America that all men are created equal by God with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. My friends, these are the things that are worth preserving and conserving. And that's what we are doing, is getting our brain around these issues. So thank you to each of you for listening. Thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. I'm just so honored to get to work with all of you. Producer Steve, I saw somebody yesterday and she said, Kim, I am now addicted to your show. I have my alarm set and I get up to listen to that. And she said, Steve, the camaraderie the two of you have is just really, really great. And I said, even when I give him grief about his age, and anyway, she really appreciates you and the professionalism and the camaraderie that you bring to the show, producer Steve. So I wanted to let you know that.
Addiction, that's a pretty strong word there. And I don't know, the abuse side of it in terms of this newfound fondness for my age and whatnot, I don't know. Someday.
Yeah, Patty says you're going to pay me back one of these days. So I'm
working on something. You're going to love it.
I'm sure of that. But welcome to the show. We've got a very important show planned for you today. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get a first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to who are contributing to the show to keep our independent voice out there. I greatly appreciate all the support, prayers. I know many of you say that you pray for us on a regular basis. I appreciate that. Listening, contributions, all of that. I so appreciate each and every one of you. So thank you. We do have the John Eastman podcast out there that I know many of you have listened to. He's Trump's attorney. And I went up to Boulder and we just sat down, had a conversation face to face. And this, it's a very important podcast. And obviously, in order to get that out, it needs to be distributed organically. That means that you need to send it to your friends and your family. But it gives you a good understanding of the questions regarding the election integrity of the 2020 presidential election. Talks about a meeting between Pence and Pence's general counsel and his chief of staff and John Eastman and Trump on January 4, what happened on January 6, and then the fallout from that. And ultimately, even though Professor Eastman is the visiting professor of conservative thought and policy up at CU, he's been canceled by CU. They are still paying him, but he cannot set foot on campus now, if you can believe it. And his contract will be up at the end of this school year. And then also Rachel Gable, we have her Stand in the Gap for Agriculture op-ed on the website as well. And next week, Steve, I am working to find a number of Eat Meat events throughout the state, and we're going to highlight one of them each day next week in light of Governor Polis's proclamation that March 20th be Meat Out Day. I think everybody maybe should get to the store earlier because there may be a run on meat because of that day.
I would love to see that. And I still, you know me, I'm snarky. I'm still thinking of checking into chartering one of those slow flying planes that pulls a sign that flies over the stadiums normally. I wanted to fly over downtown, pulling a sign that says beef, it's what's for dinner. And I'd like to do that on Saturday the 20th.
You know, this is about the fifth time you mentioned this. You may get that done. You know what? That would be good.
I want to see if the whatever the rate is reasonable.
Okay, well, stay tuned. We'll see if Steve does that.
Well, you know, I know my taxes are done, and I know I'm, for whatever reason, I can't figure out why, I'm getting, you know, a very pretty nice return from the state, which I can't figure that part out. But maybe that's a good place to use that money.
Okay, well, stay tuned. We'll see what producer Steve decides to do with his state tax refund. So I like it, though. I like your creativity on that. Let's continue on with just things you need to know. And yesterday we did the recording for America's Veterans Stories that will air this Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. Our guest was Joe Parner, or is Joe Parner, and he was a medic with the SOG group, which is the Studies and Observations Group. It was founded in 1964, and they did top secret missions in the tri-country area of Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. And I really a fascinating interview, Steve, and that's going to air this Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Listening to him describe, you know, their function, what they were doing, and the continual crossing of the border for various reasons, it was just fascinating to see, you know, things that we weren't being told, things that we didn't know what was going on. You know, the guy has a story.
Well, and what's so interesting, for political optics on the world stage, the government of the United States said that we would not go across the borders. We'd only stay in Vietnam. And so what happened is the North Vietnamese and the communists, that was just, it was a highway then through Laos and Cambodia. And so that's why the SOG operations were top secret that went over the border, because they had to try to stop that highway. But what a dumb policy that our government put out there. And so anyway, that's why SOG was so top secret. So it's super interesting, Steve. And I would highly encourage that people tune into that. Somebody reached out to me and they said, Kim, these need to go into the Library of Congress, these interviews. And I'm like, oh, I hadn't really thought about it, but we've just worked really hard to get the story, and then we'll see what happens with all of it at some point. But we need to know our history, and it is so great to be able to talk to these guys. It's my honor, these guys and gals, it's my honor to get to do that, Steve.
Well, you've done a fine job, so carry on.
And we're going to get to break here in just a little bit, but I want to say, give a shout out to Anthony. He reached out to me regarding our conversations yesterday about really what is happening. Well, this is what he said. And he said, this is the Hegelian dialect. It says, he who causes the chaos has the solution for the chaos. And Anthony says, this is what is going on. It's been going on for the last several months. And it's the strategy that Black Lives Matter is using, and Antifa, and really the radical regressive activists on the Democrat Party. Just look at what has happened in Colorado. It was because of Polis's, and Patty said he is right now, he's way ahead of Biden regarding executive orders. But of course, Biden's only been in office, what, about 2 months. But Polis has issued over 300 plus executive orders. This is not the kind of government, this is not a we the people kind of government, Steve. And so he has created this mess in Colorado. I need to get to the numbers. I actually low-lighted it here. Hold on just a second. It says, here we go. It's that Common Sense Institute piece. And it says that the Colorado economy started as first in the nation in late 2019. But the economic shocks of 2020 has left the state economy under duress, you think, as lawmakers convene in Denver to sort out the repercussions of COVID-19. The report notes the state has 150,000 fewer jobs, roughly the equivalent to the population of Lakewood, which amounts to a 5.4% reduction in the tax-paying paycheck spending workforce. Says Colorado's unemployment rate increased from 2.5% to 8.5%, the second highest increase in the country behind Hawaii and ahead of Nevada. We fell and we're the 48th. We have, we're about third on the unemployment rate as far as the highest unemployment rate. And let's see, what was the other thing? It says that this uncertainty over the next year is coupled with significant unemployment insurance tax increases and other regulatory cost increases that will shape the ability of the Colorado economy to recover more quickly, concludes the Common Sense Institute. The proposed taxes and fees don't include those. And this is at $1.8 billion of new taxes and fees. It says the proposed taxes and fees that they're talking about in this white paper do not include the additional taxes and fees from legislation and regulations adopted before the pandemic, such as mandatory paid sick leave, increased health insurance benefits, as well as new oil and gas regulations, including new mandates on emissions. And this is all because of government policy. This is all because of what is happening down at this Democrat-controlled state house and governorship here in Colorado. And I tell you what, Steve, I was driving around my neighborhood the other day. There's a bunch of for sale signs that are popping up.
Yeah, my neighborhood too, and we're not that far apart.
And it may be beginning here. People are starting to flee the state of Colorado because of these bad policies. But we continue, Steve, as you know, we search for truth and clarity on these issues. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should ultimately not have to force people to do it. It should be able to stand in the battle of ideas. And that's why we do this show. And I'm so blessed to get to work with so many of my great partners. And on the line with me is another of my great partners for both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. And that is Hal Van Herke. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right here in Sedalia. It is a family-owned business. Small business is something that's near and dear to Hal's heart. Hal, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. It's good to be on.
There is always something creative happening at Castlegate Knife and Tool. And let's talk just a little bit about this new product that you have, and it's your rifle program. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's the latest tool to our line of tools is custom-made AR-15s that are built right here in Elizabeth, Colorado. And when I say built, they're actually made from cast forged blanks and milled matched receiver sets. So we're actually manufacturing these rifles here in Elizabeth. And by doing it the way we're doing it, we're able to get extreme accuracy for a reasonable price. And the program is our custom rifle program, and it's designed to give your rifle your way. So you can come in and you can order it with all types of different options, whatever you want, and we'll deliver it to you completely ready to go. Optics, accessories, etc.
What's the turnaround time on this, Hal?
Right now, the turnaround time is between a week and 2 weeks. We also
no
have
way.
A hand. Yeah, we're,
that's amazing.
That's one of the reasons why we're doing this is that we have rifles in stock and we have rifles components ready to go at all times, so that we can bring get people what they need in a hurry.
Okay, Stan, with all the craziness that's going on out there regarding the assault on our Second Amendment, how can people reach out to you and get more information on this? Do they need to come down to the store there in Sedalia, or what would you recommend?
Yeah, for now, the best way, and we're doing this kind of on purpose so that we don't overwhelm ourselves, the best way is to come into the store or to call and set up an appointment, and we actually walk you through the whole process. And to help you make decisions on what accessories you want, what caliber, what rifle style, et cetera.
Okay. And the best way people can get information is to go to your website. That's castlegate.com, castlegate.com. All the information is there, the phone, the address. But basically, you just go to Sedalia, and you turn right on which street is that? If you're coming from Littleton.
Manhart. Yep. You get off on Manhart, which is right where the brand new wide open spaces bar and restaurant is, which is a huge restaurant on the corner there. Great place. You turn right on Manhart, and then we're right in the center of town on the corner of Manhart and Plum.
Okay. And that's CastleGate.com, CastleGate.com. Hal Van Herkey, I so appreciate your partnership and your sponsorship of the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
And we'll be right back with more headlines.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Happy Friday to each and every one of you. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I wanted to, let's do a couple of things here. The quote that I had for today was from John Adams. You know him. He was an American statesman, attorney, diplomat, writer, and founding father who served as the second president of the United States from 1797 to 1801.
Kim.
Before his presidency.
Didn't you go to school with John? Ha!
Oh! Never mind. I was going to say he was in the grade before me, but never mind. He was also the leader of the American Revolution that achieved independence from Great Britain. And he served as the first vice president of the United States. He was born in 1735. He died in 1826. Steve, I'm going to tell you this is war now on this whole age thing. So, okay, here we go. This is an essay on man's lust for power. This was written in 1763, and this is what John Adams said. And they're trying to figure out, Steve. They're trying to, and you can see this is long before 1776, but they're trying to think about these different governments, democracy, republics. And so this is what he said about democracies, that they will soon degenerate into an anarchy. Such an anarchy that every man will do what is right in his own eyes, and no man's life or property or reputation or liberty will be secure. And every one of these will soon mold itself into a system of subordination of all the moral virtues and intellectual abilities, all the powers of wealth, beauty, wit, and science to the wanton pleasures, the capricious will, and the execrable cruelty of one or very few. First of all, you know what? I read these things and I think that I have all the words, and then I've gone over them. They use words that we don't even hear anymore. And I mean, just have to respect them for how they write and just their vocabulary, Steve.
Well, let's go full circle on this one. Right up at the top, an essay on man's lust for power. Now, we can have some fun here too. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, they did go to school with John Adams. And this explains everything they do today, is this lust for power. We have no really good plan. We just want to stay in power.
Well, and I was reading this, I was thinking about our conversation yesterday regarding talking with Dave Gruber, Aurora City Councilman, and Reggie Carr about all of this basically decriminalizing criminals. So, for example, no cash bail, that was one of the things that Reggie was super concerned about, and what that does to ethnic neighborhoods, putting criminals back in, don't even have to post bail. But then also on the jail management population bill, and there's a new name for that, but and again, that's a whole doublespeak thing. But it goes here, it says where that every man will do what is right in his own eyes. So you think about this, many of these legislators that are passing this legislation, they think that that is right. But then Adams goes on to say and says, no man's life or property or reputation or liberty will be secure. Steve, we're seeing that right before our eyes.
That's what drives me crazy about all the people who are not connected with what's happening in the country. They have no idea what's at stake, right there in their own life, in their own backyard.
Well, and I was also thinking about that then, because there's a whole bunch of people that have awakened to what is going on, Steve, a whole bunch of people. But the radical regressive activist left is betting on people not paying attention, really dumbing us down. When we look at what is happening on the world stage with American children and their education, we are dumbing our children down. For example, there's only a certain amount of hours in the school day. And what's going on in our school days is sex education, the critical race theory, the bill of the day here. This is just really a terrible one. And this also has a Republican on it as well. And this is House Bill 21-1103, the Media Literacy Implementation. It's concerning implementing the recommendations of the Media Literacy Advisory Committee. So once again, when you hear the word committee, that is no longer accountable, and they're not elected by the people. It is now appointed. So once again, another bureaucratic committee. And it's going to be an elementary and secondary education. And what it's going to do is requires the Department of Education, and we have another one of those force words, Steve, requires the Department of Education to create and maintain an online resource bank of materials and resources pertaining to media literacy. And at the minimum, the resource must include materials and resources recommended in the Media Literacy Advisory Committee's report. So this is basically government coming in and once again shutting down some voices because they will not be on the list, or they will be noted as not a credible site, and then they're putting this into our school day. Well, on the other hand, countries throughout the world, those kids are learning math and science and literature, and we're really cheating our kids on this, Steve.
Well, there it's another four-letter word, censorship. I read Patty's package, and you know the bill of the day is right at the top, and all I could think of is government censorship. They're controlling what the kids are going to read and what they're not going to read.
Absolutely. And a couple of other things, my gosh, we've got so much to talk about. But yesterday when I got on the computer, you know how whatever search engine you have, I think the one that first comes up, I use DuckDuckGo, but somehow my page, I think, goes to Microsoft. And this was the very first headline. My gosh, we have so much going on. Our republic is at a very dangerous situation. And this was the first headline that came up, Steve. I can't even believe it. Kevin Bacon recalls giving wife Kyra Sedgwick a bikini wax that went horribly wrong. I'm thinking, honest to Pete, with all that's going on in this world, and that is the first headline that pops up, you talk about dumbing down America. It is unconscionable, Steve.
No doubt about it. Some of those search engines, they I don't know, that's not the right term for it, but they offer you quote-unquote news, and one of the ones I'm seeing here at the station daily is just ridiculous. I can't believe that is what is passing. You know, somebody's obviously picking and choosing what stories to put on those things, and it has nothing to do with what is really happening.
And then what is happening down at the Colorado State House, you can see with the bill of the day what is happening up at the national levels. With just the assault on our freedoms, and people don't understand it, because if that's what you're really most interested in, then that is a problem. Although I'm not going to circle back. I'm going to follow that up with the comment. Yes, that
please don't circle back anywhere.
75 to 80 million people showed up to vote for Donald Trump, and it blew the algorithms out of the water is what happened there. And we know that people are paying attention. And that's why I think that when Biden got into office, I mean, it's been shock and awe, all of these executive orders with what is happening at the in Congress as well. And they're trying to dishearten people. And we are Americans, though, and we do not give up. I know I only have just a couple of minutes. I do need to just mention something about Joe Biden's speech. I did watch it last night.
Wait a minute. You have to?
I do.
This is a Friday. We're trying to get ourselves built up to go into the weekend, and you have to talk about Joe Biden?
Well, I do. I watched the speech last night, and obviously he does not know the proper role of government. His goal is, he said, to have 100 million shots in arms And that no other country has done this. First of all, my friends, I find that I'm going to draw connect a dot here for you. We've talked about the World Economic Forum and their predictions. There are 8 predictions for the world in 2030. And number 3, they said U.S. dominance is over. We'll have a handful of global powers. That's their 3rd goal. And the 7th goal is the values that have built the West will be tested to the breaking point. So I am drawing a correlation between those goals and what Joe Biden is saying, is that why is America the only country that has to have all the shots in the arms? And what I really saw underlying all this is they want to tell you, I wrote down this quote, what you can and cannot do. He says, I need you to get vaccinated so that we can get together for the 4th of July. And he says, listen to Dr. Fauci. He's safe. This is another headline that Patty has on here, though. Did you know that Dr. Fauci's daughter works for Twitter? And, of course, Twitter is one of the big censorship organizations out there. And he says, and this is Biden again. I wrote this down. He said, I need you to get vaccinated, but keep wearing masks and social distance. So, my friends, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if you get vaccinated and you need to keep wearing masks and social distance, either A, it doesn't work, or B, they're just trying to control you. And then he does the threat. He says, if you don't do this, we may have to reinstitute restrictions. And he says, you all need to get vaccinated soon. This is the American Rescue Plan. This is not the proper role of government. And I can also see he's saying it's voluntary at this point, but I see force coming behind that. So I know I'm going over a little over time, but I wanted to get to that as well. Jason McBride, did you happen to watch the speech last night?
I did not. What speech was it specifically? Did he finally just say something?
He actually did pretty well. You know, he has struggled it kind of looks like his cognitive abilities, and we've seen different interviews where he's really struggled, but he stayed on point pretty much. And the point is, no pun intended, that he wants to poke everybody, 100 million people, with shots in the arms and vaccinations. Man, that is his thing. And we know when we look at the research that almost 99.5% of the people that have contracted coronavirus have recovered from that. And one other thing, I do need to mention this, Jason. Patty had done the research on this regarding the COVID numbers. On January 21, 2021, when Biden gave his speech or was inaugurated, the U.S. deaths at that time were 409,000, approximately 409,000. And U.S. cases was about 24.6 million. Over the last, since then, until March 11th, there's been an additional 4.6 million cases and another 121,000 deaths, which is 22.8% of the total deaths. So since Biden has been inaugurated, 22.8% of those deaths have occurred. Now, I don't put total credence in all these numbers because we've seen cooking books and a variety of things. But I thought it was really interesting what Patty came up with that on that, Jason.
Well, when I hear about vaccines and all these deaths and everything else, Kim, here's the good news is that apparently we've cured every other ailment on the planet, because no one has died of anything but COVID in over a year, except for George Floyd. Now I forgot what the other one. I'm wondering why, if we came up with a vaccine for a coronavirus so quickly, I mean, why can't we come up with one for the common cold and take away the economic damage and sickness and deaths that come from that?
That is absolutely correct. And good question. So I'm very, very concerned about the speech last night and this whole focus on getting Americans poked in the arm, but no other country is doing this.
Right.
Jace, yeah, super concerned.
Yeah, I was going to say, just from the start, it's been the same kind of global attitude on COVID as it always is. I mean, every other country handled it perfectly. I mean, they had one or two cases was all, and then they, you know, handled it exactly right. But only America messed up and did it all wrong and ended up with problems. Right, Kim?
That's exactly right. And so what we see, Jason, is really this assault on the American idea. And the American idea that all men are created equal by God with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is what unleashed the amazing prosperity for everyday people. And we see the fruits of that all the time. When you drive around, we have the luxuries, Jason, of just really abundant lives, if you will, and we are squandering that with these bad policies. So with that, though, I know you're in the business of everyday people's economic, their own individual economic prosperity, and you're dedicated to that, Jason.
Well, we certainly do the best we can to help folks, number one, get as clear of a picture or as clear of a blueprint as we can as to where they are now and where they'd like to go. And then our job, the second part, is to try to do everything we can to help them get there or hopefully even exceed what they're hoping for and have a safe and steady and as stress-free a retirement as you can, at least when it comes to worrying about where's your next check coming from.
And how can people reach you to sit down and talk about that, Jason?
You know, give us a call, Kim, the old school way, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. And sorry, I blabbed too much today, Kim.
we need a three-hour show today, Jason. We've got so much to talk about. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay, have a great weekend.
Will do. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Teresa Watson is the chair of the Boulder County GOP. And what they are doing up there regarding election integrity, they've been working on this for a number of years. And she's going to talk with us about some things that we can do regarding election integrity. My friends, here in Colorado, we are at the tip of the spear. This HR1 that is trying to get moved through Congress and signed by Biden, which would totally change our voting laws here in the United States of America. And I think it would make it very difficult for people to be elected that want to conserve the American idea. And most all of that stuff has been floated and worked out here in Colorado. We are at the place where we have to stand stand up against what this is happening there. And Teresa Watson is one of those people that is doing that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I tell you what, I used to love to go to New York. I would go back on a regular basis. I've been in the fashion industry for many years. And I don't really have any desire to go back, but I still like Frank Sinatra's song on about New York. At least not while de Blasio and Cuomo are in charge of New York. They are running that state into the ground, that state and city. Welcome back to the show. On the line with me is Teresa Watson. She is a real warrior, if you will, on this whole election integrity challenge that we have in our state and our country right now. She is the chair of the Boulder County Republicans. And Teresa, it is just great to have you. Thanks again for joining us.
Good morning, Kim. Glad to be here.
We've talked a lot about election integrity. If we don't have integrity in our elections, Teresa, we don't have a country, because we no longer have free and fair elections, and we no longer have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And so you have been working diligently there in Boulder County regarding elections and election integrity. And we want to talk about some positive things regarding avenues for election integrity. Where do you want to start, Teresa?
I think the area that really is on my mind right now is I keep saying local, local, local. And I know that other people are saying this also. And I've actually really appreciated that even across the country. I was watching CPAC, and so many speakers would say, yeah, we have these problems, but how are we going to fix them? Well, we all have to get involved locally. And I cannot reiterate that more than anyone else, because of what I learned while working locally in my county and how to become stronger, smarter, and more powerful because of getting involved within my county.
I think people feel a bit overwhelmed, and I continue to have people reach out to me and say, you say we need to do something. What do we need to do? What would you say to somebody that asked that question, like specific things? What could they do?
Exactly. That is so key. Every day I get people coming to me and, you know, still like so concerned about election integrity and how to help out and what to do. And what I always tell them is that we have to talk to each other and start training ourselves and learning about elections and what our rights are as the people. So I'm continuing to build our election judge team, our poll watcher team, and I'm working on building a volunteer attorneys team for our counties to get ready for the fall. So it's really about talking to each other and building that network from the ground up. I'm also working with people who are wanting to spread out across our state. So I talk with other chairs of the party, and we're talking about how to train each other and build up our team of warriors, as you called us, as I heard earlier.
So should people reach out to you? What if they're in a different county? And not all counties are as dedicated and organized as you are there in Boulder, Teresa. So should people reach out to you? Because I know that people are hungry for some specific things to do.
So right now we are about to have, you know, coming in November, every single city is going to be having elections, local, and they're called nonpartisan. You're going to be looking to elect council members, maybe a treasurer or a sheriff. You're going to be, and your city is going to be looking to fill positions in different boards, like the open space board or the preservation board. All those positions are held by citizens, us. And those are available in every county websites of what positions are coming open in November. And right now is the time to prepare yourself to start thinking, where do I fit in? What can I do to learn how to become a person who runs for one of those offices or joins one of those boards and commissions?
So I think I'm still, because I served on city council, I know exactly what you're saying. But regarding like these boards and commissions, sometimes what happens, for example, let's say if you have a city council that has really been taken over by radical regressive activists. And this really happened while many of us were not paying attention. They then appoint those with the same political ideologies to those boards and commissions. So again, how could we prepare people that want to do their civic duty to be prepared to do that? I think I'm asking for advice on this, Teresa, because I haven't had quite the answer that I needed to give to people.
Well, I do have a couple of people within our team who are local board members, and they have found the same frustration. But they've gotten onto the board because they didn't go in with their hardcore conservative and we're going to change something immediately. And this is what I believe. They went in with a more open-minded, generic, you know, didn't fall into the traps of conservative talk. So you got to be, you know, we're looking for people who can really help say things. You know, there's a certain talent with this, right?
Not all
of us are talented in that, but we have started slowly getting people into boards and commissions, and they're making an influence. I just had a woman tell me a story the other night that she's sitting in the preservation board, and they want to make any building 50 years or older, you must come ask permission to make any changes to it. You must, it could be a chicken coop on a farm. I mean, every little building. And she was able to talk them down, and she threw out a word, equity. And she used equity to slow them down and say, hey, here's your language. And she didn't say, hey, here's your language, but she used their language, which is their new favorite word, equity. And she put it back on them. Is this really equitable to be telling people that a chicken coop needs to be come to the city to be decided whether or not you can keep it or not?
And that is why
it's a learning curve.
It is a learning curve. And to connect the dot here, when government comes in and puts in that kind of a preservation rule, that is an assault on private property rights. And government really is instituted to protect our private property rights. But you're so right regarding the language. The language and the attitude is so important. And we have a mutual friend, Brad Beck, who is one of the co-founders of Liberty Toastmasters. And there's two different groups that meet. There's one that meets the first and third Saturdays of each month at the Independence Institute, and then one that meets in Longmont on the second and fourth. And I would recommend that people come as a guest to start to learn. It has been very helpful for me on engaging in conversations because I went through, initially, I was very frustrated when I first became involved in all this as I started to unpack what was happening. But I realized that there are people that have good intentions but haven't really thought about all the consequences and what that might mean for everyday their neighbors and their property rights. And so there's different tools out there. And I think Liberty Toastmasters is a good place to start as well, Teresa.
Well, and I think that Liberty Toastmasters is great. I belong to our Liberty North, and it has really taught me a lot about how to present information to public speaking. But, you know, we're all not, you know, made out to be that public speaker. One of the things I tell people is to just get involved just locally on anything and everything that comes up. Being seen and being heard among friends builds confidence in others, and you're building that network of people. So people come to me and I ask them to, would you be willing to talk to your Republican neighbors and get the word out about events? Because communication is huge. We're trying to connect all the time with people. People don't want to give out their emails. They don't want to give out their cell numbers. So we have to go door to door talking to our neighbors saying, here's what the Republicans are up to, here's what's going on conservatively, and we can't be afraid to go and talk and build that relationship up again that we have lost.
We have lost that. And again, Teresa, what you guys are doing up in Boulder, there is a lot of people that are stepping forward. They were election judges. They're considering running for office. You guys are doing a lot of great work up there because people are so concerned about the trajectory of our state and our nation. But we're going to go to break. I'm talking with Teresa Watson. She is the head of the Boulder County GOP, and she's done a lot of work regarding election integrity. And we're working on our solutions, my friends. We're working on things that we, each and every one of us, can do. Before we do that, though, another great partner that I so appreciate is Hooters Restaurants, and it is March Madness. I love March Madness. It was so weird last year. It's kind of like it didn't really happen, and I'm not really sure what's happening with this March Madness, but there's specials at Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, Loveland, and Colorado Springs, and they've got a dine-in special. It's a great deal. You can buy 10 boneless wings and get a Big Daddy drink for $14.99, or buy 15 boneless wings and a 64-ounce pitcher for $20.99. And that special is for dine-in only, but they do have to-go specials as well. So go to my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Go to the sponsors tab, click that. All my sponsors come up. Click on Hooters there, and they'll have all the specials for March. So we're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Teresa Watson.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Someday. Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And you can email me at kimmunson.com as well. Before we get back to Teresa, I had Reggie Carr on yesterday. He was the founder of I'm a Trumpster and I'm a Super PAC. He is dedicated to going out and influencing ethnic communities, as well as writing music. He's been a music producer, writer for many years, and writing music and doing videos to influence both ethnic communities. And we know that kids from all descriptors like this ethnic music, and to start to push towards promoting the American idea instead of this Democrat idea that we now have of destruction and division of independency. And he's been interviewed by mainstream media, and they've said, why don't you come over to the regressive left side? And he's like, no, I'm an American. And he'd really like to present his plan to Donald Trump. And he was trying to get in front of him. We're doing different avenues on that. But if you have something you want to do today, write Donald Trump, care of Mar-a-Lago at 1100 South Ocean Boulevard in Palm Beach, Florida, 33480, and just say, President Trump, please meet Reggie Carr. It is worth your time. We'd like to have at least 50 people send that note to Donald Trump, and so would recommend that you do that. On the line with me is Teresa Watson. She is the chair of the Boulder County GOP. They are doing amazing work in Boulder County regarding election integrity. I see women up there stepping forward. I saw a number of them this last Wednesday. Super impressive. We've got a very important election coming up on March 27th, and that is for the state leadership for the Republican Party. What's your thoughts on that, Teresa?
Well, there is a really positive update on what's coming up on that March 27th, is that there's a group that really felt like as Republicans, and we're pushing back on election integrity, and we want election integrity, and we're pushing back on practices that don't build confidence in the voter. We need to do it even with inside of our own party, as we are about to have a very important election, which is the chairman of our state GOP. So a group of grassroots warriors said, hey, we want an in-person vote, not an online, not with technology. We want to be in person discussing the issue, discussing the matters in person, just like we used to always do. And they really pushed this for a couple of weeks. They got a lot of people to back them. They got some time in front of the current chair, and they were able to get the opening for the ability to have this event, this vote meeting that we're having, our central committee, in person. So that is in the works. That's a very positive change, which shows that Republicans are open and willing to make the changes even with inside of our own party. And I'm very happy to hear that this change is about to happen.
Well, and to that point, the Republican leadership had said that this is going to be a virtual meeting, and voting obviously could not be in person, where we are realizing that mail-in voting actually increases the opportunity for election fraud. And of course, then you add in technology, and there seems to be those that want to move even further into different types of voting in with technology, which would increase even more the opportunity of fraud. So it is very encouraging. This grassroots group has come forward and said, wait a minute, we stand for election integrity, and we need to walk the talk, and have been really pushing to make that happen. I'm a little disappointed that we even have to have this conversation. It seems like it would be a no-brainer that we want to move towards more election integrity versus the different modes of operation that really, you know, really open up opportunity for fraud. So I really laud this group for stepping forward to do this, Teresa.
I do too. And this is the type of what we're talking about is that it's going to take each and every one of us to take that. What we know to be true about being American is that we have a right to stand up and say something and take a stand. And then we need to, you know, learn how to bring people alongside with us and take that stand together, because we need the numbers. We need the voices together. So I'm really proud of this group for pushing and they didn't give up, and they kept on pushing it. We have to rethink how we accept our leadership, what path they're taking us on. And we have to be the people that say, we don't want to go on that path any longer, and we want to change it, and we want to get back to, I never believe in going backwards, but let's improve, but let's improve the right way.
Well, and on the going backwards thing, I know what you're saying, going back, people say we don't want to move backwards, but actually, when you have quote unquote progressed into something that is less free and less, how can I say it? Less standing for everyday hardworking people, everyday hardworking Americans. When you have quote unquote progressed, I would use the word regressed into that, then that's where you want to go back to these principles that have founded our country, Teresa. We've got just a couple of minutes left, and the work that you are doing is so important. You're a true patriot on all this. What's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners this morning, Teresa Watson?
I think our next step is to influence the youth and start working towards, there's a lot of opportunity out there right now with kids not in school, not getting proper civics lessons. And so I am working with a group of young men who created a program that they want to help teach civics to young people and then help them learn about our election systems and how our government works. And so I think this is a really positive step on the part of our like-minded, right-leaning people that we work together and we find and partner. You know, it's not a Republican group, but I want to work with them because they have the right idea.
I really love that. And there are a number of people that have left the party, but they care deeply. They've left the Republican Party. And maybe in some ways the Republican Party had left them. So we need to push forward on those principles once again, which you are doing. But yes, we have a civic duty to do this. And that's another reason why to help out Reggie Carr. So Teresa Watson, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. I appreciate the important conversation this morning.
Thanks for your time, Kim. Glad to talk. Bye-bye.
And bye-bye. And our quote for today is, again, from John Adams. Now, my friends, remember, we are not a democracy. America is a constitutional republic. And in 1814, John Adams wrote a letter to John Taylor, and he said, remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. That is why we are a constitutional republic, and it is worth protecting. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
No one to cry, but tell them if I don't say.